Welcome to the LexisNexis Workers' Compensation Law Center podcast. Discussions and interviews with leading attorneys and industry professionals. On this edition, John F. Burton, Professor Emeritus in the School of Management and Labor Relations at Rutgers University, on the National Commission of State Workers' Compensation Laws.
LexisNexis Podcasts, voted top legal-oriented podcast in a 2008 ABA Journal Blog 100, the annual reader survey of the best websites for lawyers, as chosen by the editors of the ABA Journal.
The opinions expressed by guests interviewed on LexisNexis Legal Podcasts do not necessarily reflect those of Reed Elsevier Incorporated, LexisNexis, subsidiary companies, shareholders, employees, or customers, and should not be considered legal advice. John F. Burton, Jr. is editor of the Workers' Compensation Policy Review. He is professor emeritus in the School of Management and Labor Relations at Rutgers University. He is chair of the study panel on national data on workers' compensation of the National Academy of Social Insurance. Professor Burton has conducted research, served as a consultant, and assisted with the formulation of public policy for many years. He was the chair of the National Commission on State Workmen's Compensation Laws, which submitted its report to the President and Congress in 1972. Professor Burton, welcome to this LexisNexis podcast. Thank you for being part of it. Would you briefly describe your involvement with the National Commission on State Workers' Compensation Laws?
Well, I've been a scholar, I guess, of workers' compensation since my graduate days, back in the 1960s. And when the National Commission on State Workmen's Compensation Laws, it was known as Workmen's back at that stage, before we became more gender conscious, when it was established in 1971, I was appointed the chairman of the National Commission on State Workmen's Compensation Laws. And we submitted our report to Congress and to the President in July of 1972. So I've been involved. As a result of that, I've been doing research and consulting and testifying on workers' compensation, especially since 1972.
Why is the National Commission on State Workers' Compensation Laws needed at this time?
Well, I'm not 100% convinced it is needed. I think there are some arguments in favor of creating a commission if it's done properly. One would be just to briefly capture the essence of the 1972 commission's report. That report was produced by a commission that had 18 members, and most of them were appointed by the Nixon White House. And we were predominantly Republicans and representing essentially the insurance industry, employers, state agencies, or were labor people, but it was definitely dominated by the Republican and, if you will, conservative elements of workers' compensation. Despite that, the commission's report was quite critical of state workers' compensation laws, said in general they were inadequate and inequitable. The commission made 84 recommendations for improvement in state laws, designated 19 of those recommendations as essential, and said that the state's compliance with those 19 essential recommendations should be monitored, and that if states did not improve their laws and come into compliance with those 19 essential recommendations, there should be federal standards to require states to comply with the 19 essential recommendations. And that was a unanimous recommendation of the National Commission in 72. Now, unfortunately, the states have never complied to a substantial extent. The Department of Labor, U.S. Department of Labor, tracked the state compliance scores for many years, until 2004, in fact. And at that time, the average state was in compliance with 12.7 of the 19 essential recommendations. And obviously, the average score covered up the fact that some states were above that and many were below. I don't think it's fair to say that the states ever substantially complied with the 19 essential recommendations. Despite that, the federal government has never enacted the federal standards for a variety of reasons. But here we are some 35 years later with, I would say, essentially the states still generally inadequate, inequitable, using those recommendations of the National Commission. And so I think one of the issues that really needs to be faced would justify a new National Commission is, what do you do about the fact that the states have never complied with the recommendations of the 1972 National Commission? And to oversimplify, I guess there are three alternatives. One is to essentially what we've been doing is to ignore the fact that states have not generally improved their laws as the 72 Commission recommended. A second alternative would be to go back and look at the issue of federal standards. In retrospect, what the National Commission recommended in 72 as the enforcement mechanism was not workable. There were political reasons in part as to why we proposed a specific enforcement mechanism. So I think if we were to do this again, or if a new National Commission were to be created, one of the issues would be, if you're going to have federal standards and impose them on the states, how would you enforce them? And then I guess the third option would be, first is ignore, second is federal standards, and third is to think about, if you can't effectively get the states to improve their laws by having federal standards and leaving, essentially impose those standards on state programs, the third alternative is to federalize the workers' compensation program. Now, the National Commission specifically rejected the notion of federalization, but I think that's an issue that a new National Commission would have to look at again in light of the fact that the federal standards approach clearly has not worked. So that's kind of my first part of my answer as to why a new National Commission might be useful. The second broad reason is that I think there are some issues that the 72 report didn't deal with adequately, and I'll just mention a couple of them. Number one, work-related diseases were not a major issue in 72, and indeed the report in 72 spent very little time on that issue. Shortly after the report came out, this became much more of an issue. And I think it's one that really deserves some careful attention by a new national commission. There have been some research conducted that indicates that occupational diseases identified through scientific examination of medical records, 90% of those occupational diseases are not compensated by the workers' comp system. And so we've got a pretty fundamental issue there. What, if anything, should be done to increase the coverage of occupational diseases? That's related with another issue that I think really didn't get enough attention in 72, and that is increasingly, I think, disability among the working age population is now recognized as the result of a combination of causes. Work may be one of them, but for many workers, there's the aging process that brings about deterioration in backs and so on, and there are non-occupational exposures, there's hereditary factors, and increasingly we're recognizing how complex it is to identify the etiology of diseases and certainly to sort out the work-related contribution of these. And I think one of the issues that a national commission really needs to think about is whether the work-related test, that is the essential feature of workers' comp, that is, if it's work-related, you get compensation. If it's not, you don't. That all-or-nothing test has caused increasingly severe problems with workers' compensation because we're getting more and more complicated cases where we ask, scientifically, it's very difficult to make a judgment about what's work-related or not. And that, incidentally, is an issue that I think is of serious interest to employers, the insurance industry, as well as workers. I think the motivation for this new proposal is, to some extent, to a large extent, coming from the worker side or the applicant's attorney side, but I do think this issue of multiple causation is one that transcends the interest of any individual side of this workers' compensation program. And another issue that I think also transcends the employer-employee split, if you will, is the issue of what to do about medical care. Medical costs were probably 30% of total benefits in 1972, the other 70% being cash benefits. Now it's close to 50-50, and in some jurisdictions, more than half of all benefits are going to medical care. So medical costs have become much more important. We've also developed a much more varied approaches to medical cost containment and medical provision in workers' comp systems in the last 15 or 20 years with managed care, fee schedules, et cetera, et cetera. And I think we don't really know what works as well. It's not an issue. This draft of the bill for the new National Commission talks about freedom of choice for employees. I think that's a much more complicated issue than just trying to think about employee choice. And so I think that's another thing a National Commission could do. And one of the things that makes that particularly pressing is we're moving in the direction of a national health insurance. We've got many employers who are cutting back on their health care for non-work-related conditions, and to rethink about how you coordinate at least the benefits provided by workers' compensation, the medical benefits provided by workers' comp, with what else is going on in the healthcare system is going to be a major challenge that I don't know the answer to, but I think the National Commission could make some contributions in that area. Now, finally, and I don't want to spend the entire allocated time just talking about this issue of why a new National Commission, but I do think the motivation for this drafting of this particular bill is probably from the applicant's attorney side or the union side, and I think it reflects, in fact, that one of the things that's happened over the last 30 years or so is, on one hand, if you look at cash benefits and their limitations in terms of maximum weekly benefits, the program is probably in much better shape than it was back in 1972. But on the other hand, one of the things that's happened, particularly since the 90s, is that the eligibility rules for getting into the workers' comp system have been substantially restricted in a number of jurisdictions. And so increasingly we're finding conditions that historically would have been compensable in a workers' comp are no longer compensable. And we've got to think about what to do, if anything, about that issue. One of the consequences, and this is some of my own research, is we've been finding that in those states that have been cutting back the most on eligibility for workers' comp, we're seeing an increase in applications for the federal Social Security Disability Insurance Program. So to a certain extent, there's been a shift from the state-run program, workers' comp, to the federal DI program, and I think that's an issue that needs to be faced up to, especially because the DI program is in worse financial shape than the old age component of Social Security. So there's a bunch of issues that I think a national commission could make some very useful contributions to along the lines I just suggested.
Obviously, a lot has changed between 1972 and the introduction of the 2009 bill. Are there any issues that are missing in the legislation that you think should be addressed by the commission?
Well, I think the some of the things I touched on before, this coverage issue is talked about indirectly, but I don't think there's a real clear statement that it's not just the issue of what's been happening to Titan rules, but also the issue of what do we do about the complexity of etiology. How do we rethink the whole issue of the work-related test in a constructive way? The other thing that's happened that I think probably deserves specific mention is one of the areas that the National Commission didn't really get into or didn't make recommendations on for a variety of reasons was what to do about permanent partial disability benefits. And I think it'd be worth specifically mentioning that in this new legislation, that that's an area that further consideration would be useful. And then again, as I said before, I think the issue of medical benefits coordination is something that this draft doesn't really adequately deal with. So that, I guess, that would be my main thing.
You mentioned a number of the aspects that would be analyzed. If the commission is created and presents its findings, how much influence will those findings actually have in the various states?
Well, I think that depends crucially on what the enforcement mechanism is. One of the things we did in the 72 report is we looked at the history of reform in workers' compensation, and we noted that there had been a number of organizations prior to 72 who had made recommendations for improving state workers' compensation laws, but they had not been successful. And the 72 report said that the reason was that the states were essentially in competition with each other, and there was a race towards the bottom to see who could attract employers by lowering costs, which in turn lowered benefits, and that the key to breaking that cycle was to provide some underpinning, if you will, of the state programs through the use of federal standards. So I think the question is, if you're talking about a commission that just presents findings without an enforcement mechanism, my guess is the influence on the states would be quite limited. If you have a report that has some enforcement mechanisms, then I think the states are likely to pay much more attention to it, and if necessary, they would be required to follow the recommendations of the National Commission. The history of the National Commission in 72 was that after our report came in 72, the threat of federal standards was taken quite seriously, given the fact that it was a unanimous recommendation, and for 4 or 5 years in the 70s, states improved their laws very rapidly, in particular in terms of benefit levels. Once we got into the 80s, the threat of federal intervention in the state programs essentially disappeared. And I would say the period of 80s, the state laws essentially held their own in terms of adequacy and equity. Once we got into the 90s and this decade, the fact that nobody takes federal standards seriously means that a lot of states have moved backwards in terms of particularly eligibility rules. So I think the answer is, how seriously would the states take this? Well, it depends on the enforcement mechanism.
What impact, if any, could passage of the Employee Free Choice Act have on this proposal for a national commission?
I'm not sure it's going to have a major impact. I think if that bill passes, either in its present form or something close to it, you're going to have employers and Republicans who are going to be very upset. And it's going to be viewed as a real setback for that conservative side of the community, if you will. And I suspect that would make it much more difficult to get this legislation supported in any kind of a bipartisan fashion. But I don't think they're directly related. It may be, even if that bill were to pass, there's a recognition that workers' compensation needs a look, and therefore let's go ahead and do it, even though we put the Free Choice Act in place. But so I think it's problematic as to what impact it would have. I think it, as I said, it may make things more difficult to get legislation passed, but I don't know that it's going to be a major impact.
The 2009 bill was introduced in January, I believe. What's its status at this point?
I suspect it's just sitting there waiting to see what happens to the Employee Free Choice Act. Obviously, that's where the labor movement and the progressive side is in the labor relations area or labor, employment relations area is putting their emphasis right now. And I suspect it's going to come to a vote, but it's not at all clear it's going to pass.
What do you think of are the chances for passage of both of those?
Well, I think the Employee Free Choice Act in its present form is probably not going to be passed, but I don't want to pretend that I have any inside information on that. I think this other legislation is, it's not the first time we've had proposals for a national commission. My guess is it's a long shot, but on the other hand, with the Democrats in control, and I think clearly a real concern among some elements of workers' comp community about what's been happening, it's not impossible that this bill would be passed. I think there are some questionable aspects of this legislation as drafted. It doesn't strike me as having been drafted very carefully, and I'll just note two things about it that I think indicate the fact that it needs some careful reworking. One is it has 14 members, but it says no more than 6 appointed members can be from the same political party. Now, if you do the math on that, there's something, we're going to have some independents, or maybe Bernie from Vermont, our one socialist member, is going to have to appoint a couple members to get this up to 14. So right. Somebody, I think, didn't do that math very well. And incidentally, I think the notion of 14 members and the way they're appointed, I'm not sure I would think that's going to result in a very balanced commission with 2 from the House majority, 2 from the House minority, unless there's a major coordination effort among all these appointing bodies. The other thing that I want to go to that I think, well, two other things I guess. One is, and this is kind of drawing on the experience of the 72 National Commission and glitches, I think, in the current draft of this thing. Final report's not later than 18 months after the date of the enactment of this act. In the case of the 72 law, we were part of the Occupational Safety and Health Act, and the report specifically said we had to report by July 31st of 1972. The Occupational Safety and Health Act went into effect essentially, I think, in March of 71. But by the time the members of the National Commission were appointed, it was June of 71, which meant that we had only 13 months from the date of appointment to get our report ready. And it was just too tight a schedule. We made it. But it was a wild scramble during that year to meet that deadline for various reasons. Congress didn't want to amend that due date because it would have required opening up the Occupational Safety and Health Act, and nobody wanted to do that because within months of enactment of OSHA, even though it had been passed almost unanimously in both the House and Senate, there was so much controversy on the OSHA Act that nobody wanted to even open up a tiny bit of it for amendment with the fear that there'd be all kinds of other amendments thrown in. So we were stuck with that deadline. And I think there's a problem here of saying 18 months after the enactment of this act, if you don't get around to appointing the members, this method of appointment is rather cumbersome. I could visualize this easily being less than 12 months between the date of effective appointment of the commission the date their report's due. So that I think that would need to be modified. And the other thing is Section 9 of the proposed legislation, the commission is supposed to terminate 19 days after the date of which its final report is submitted. Well, 19 days, I think, is a typo, because the 72 report said we had 90 days. And my guess is somebody misread 90 or for 19 and put in 19. And indeed, I think 90 days, as it turned out for us, was way too short, because even though our report got in on time, July 31st, we actually published some of our most important contributions, three-volume series of selected, what we called, they were individual selected studies or something like that, which were research reports we had commissioned. We also published a compendium, which was kind of a one-volume encyclopedia on workers' compensation. Those things were not, by and large, done within 90 days, and I essentially, and some others, spent volunteered their time to clean up those things and get them to the printer. But you need more than 90 days to do that. And indeed, we had hearings throughout the country in 72, and the preparation of those hearings ran so late that they never did get published, even though I think they contained very valuable information. So I think that this termination date here is way off kilter in terms of what you would want to do for if you have a report.
Professor Burton, you've obviously invested a lot of time into these issues. Have any final thoughts on the proposal for a national commission?
Well, I think that it may be a careful way to look at some problems in workers' compensation if it's done correctly, if it's got a good set of members. I think the alternative is likely to be there's enough problems with workers' compensation that are under the surface, but, you know, getting more and more attention, the cutting back of coverage at the state level leading to a great deal of frustration, particularly among applicant attorneys in a number of states, and this whole issue of shifting costs from workers' comp to DI is, I think, an explosive issue. And I think one of the things that might happen is if you don't have a national commission is that you're likely to get some congressional hearings on workers' comp, which I think is a much less desirable way to go on dealing with these issues, because you don't have a chance to, you know, to think through these issues carefully. You're likely to get testimony that is quite inflammatory. So in that sense, I think there's some real pluses for a national commission if it's done correctly.
Professor Burton, thank you very much for your time and outlining some of these issues and your thoughts on them. And thank you for being part of this LexisNexis podcast.
Well, you're welcome.
Professor John Burton, Jr., Professor Emeritus, School of Management and Labor Relations at Rutgers University. This has been the LexisNexis Workers' Compensation Law Center podcast. Visit the Workers' Compensation Law Center and all our communities at www.lexisnexis.com/communities. The LexisNexis Workers' Compensation Law Center podcast. Copyright 2009 by LexisNexis, a division of Reed Elsevier Incorporated. LexisNexis, Total Practice Solutions. I'm Steve Bursler. Thank you for listening.